Right. Good singing tonight. We will be in the book of Acts. Be in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We're going to touch on different, I guess you could say, different points tonight out of Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 34. Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 34. And we're looking at the subject, praise at midnight. Praise at midnight. Begin reading in verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried aloud with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time once again to gather in your house. And as we look at this subject tonight, I just ask you, Lord, to meet with us. I ask you to stir up this message within our hearts tonight, and I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. And I just pray, Lord, it comes across the way you would desire for it to come across tonight, and that we'll get out of it what we need to get out of it. You know where every heart is here tonight, and we'll just thank you and praise you in advance for how you'll answer these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. This was originally, I would say, earlier in the week was going to be my Sunday morning message. But then it seemed like I wasn't getting any traction with it. It seemed like the Lord wasn't giving me anything more to say from what I already had. So I kind of shifted and went into another direction. And then this afternoon at about 2 o'clock, the Lord put the thought back in my mind. And then I jumped back on this this thought here for this evening. So we'll see how it goes tonight. But we read of Paul and Silas out doing the Lord's work. We just read that. They are about their father's business. They hit the town here of Philippi, that chief city in the area of Macedonia, and they go out to the riverside for a time of prayer. And there are some ladies there, and one of them is a lady by the name of Lydia. We just looked at verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So we see where the Lord opened her heart to receive the gospel as given by Paul. So Lydia is gloriously saved. She's baptized. And I tell you today that the opening of a closed heart is still something that only God can do. I cannot open a closed heart. I cannot open blind eyes. But as the song says, I know a man who can. And God continues the work in Philippi through Paul and through Silas. We can add Lydia now. God is now using Lydia. Lydia just got saved. God's now using her now, too, to play a part in reaching her whole house for the Lord. We see that in verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So Lydia's whole house was saved and baptized. And obviously, Paul and Silas considered her faithful as they went in to be with her family for a bit. But God was doing a work in Philippi through Paul, through Silas, through Lydia, through her house now. But the work doesn't stop there. As Paul and Silas was ministering along the riverside, he's approached by someone else in verses 16 through 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And she did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So Paul is writing to say that for many days, this damsel with the spirit of divination was following him around with her masters, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, when I was thinking about this, as I was studying on this, even truth spoken by the devil just rubs you the wrong way. Paul was grieved. And I imagine, so after many days of a devil-possessed woman and her masters following him around. Now, if you think that the devil doesn't seek to attach himself to the servants of God by surrounding God's servants with those that will grieve them in the spirit, then reread verses 16 through 18, because that is exactly what happened. And by the way, that still happens. The devil sent a woman and her masters to grieve Paul and Silas as they are ministering in Philippi. And I can tell you, it's hard to preach while grieved. I can tell you, it is hard to minister while grieved. Isn't it amazing when you consider the timing of this damsel? She shows up right after Paul and Silas saw Lydia and her whole house come to know Christ and become scripturally baptized. And I can tell you without a doubt, always, always, always expect the devil on the backside of your greatest victories. Not in every case, but this can also be how you know the Lord is working in families, is the devil there. This can also be how you know if the Lord is working in churches, is the devil there. How do you know the Lord was in Philippi? Because the devil showed up shortly after. And there's one thing we know about the devil is everywhere God is, the devil's going to be there too. You can count on it. And I tell you what, the devil don't waste his time on people that he ain't worried about. If I worry sometimes about people that's got it too easy. Even about the Lord's work, I worry about them sometimes when it just seems like everything's just too easy. Don't seem like there's much battle going on. But here's the one thing about the devil's plan in this story in Philippi is that it backfired on him. See in verse 18, "And this day, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved," sound like he got fed up after a while, "turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." I love it. I love it. When the devil is reminded that just at the name of Jesus, he's got to go. Paul delivers this damsel in Jesus' name. Then her masters, those who were making money off of her, saw an immediate change in her. She could no longer make money for them. And she had been delivered from the spirit of divination, and she was immediately indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Her masters get angry. We just read that. They grab up Paul and Silas. They're dragged before the magistrates. They're falsely accused of causing trouble and teaching unlawful customs. Without a proper trial, they're stripped. They're beaten with many stripes. They're thrown into prison. And now they're suffering despite doing God's work. It's been some busy days in Philippi for the Lord by Paul and Silas, ministering by the riverside. And God led Lydia to them. And then God led the woman possessed with the evil spirit to them. And both were gloriously saved. But then we see in verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now we're getting to the main gist of tonight's message. Hang on to this tonight, because at a time when Paul and Silas could be down, at a time when they could be defeated, tired, restless, at a time when they could be scratching their heads, questioning God, wondering what it's all for, they aren't doing any of that. They're praying and praising. And it starts getting close to midnight, and as if the Lord wasn't there already, he begins to make his presence known to the whole prison. As a breath from heaven starts to come through that prison, and I'm thankful that God is still awake at midnight. And not only is God still awake at midnight, but he is available at midnight. We read of Paul and Silas, they're praying. We read of them praising, and we're getting ready to see and be reminded that God uses our prayer and our praise for his honor and glory. When things are good and not so good, Paul and Silas in a Roman prison, not deterred by their circumstances, begin to sing aloud and praise God for all to hear. On this note, if you want people, and when I say people, I mean the world, to think you're crazy, sing praises to your God in your circumstances. This world knows because they've heard that God is all powerful. This world sits back and they question and they say, are they still singing praises to a God that could have prevented all that? Are they still praying to a God that could have prevented all that? And here's the world's conclusion. They're either out of their mind, one, or they're right. And then there's another conclusion. Either way, I'm going to watch and find out. In the world's mind, you're serving God and God is all powerful and you're in prison for serving him. And then you're not only praying to your God, but you're praising him. To the world, it makes no sense. Obviously wasn't in that Roman prison that night, but by reading this passage and knowing people. And I've heard what unbelieving onlookers have said to God's people. Kind of like in Psalms when David's enemies told him that God was no help to him. I guarantee you Paul and Silas had the attention of that whole prison. And their prayer and praise wasn't manufactured prayer and praise. This was a work of God within Paul and Silas. It was God that put the prayer in their hearts. It was God that put the praise in their hearts. And remember, we've mentioned this multiple times. God is always previous. Before you and I ever were, there's God. Before the world, there's God. Before anything, there's God. Before you could see, hear, taste, touch, there's God. God was all up in Paul and Silas. And as a result, Paul and Silas was praying and praising, and they were singing all for the glory of God. Now, believe it or not, I believe they were having a good time while in prison. That don't make sense, does? It doesn't. But it sounds to me, when I read this story, they were having a good time. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They were singing praises. Now, I ask you, how many of us sing praises when we're down? How many of us sing praises when we're doom and gloom? How many of us sing praises when we're sick, when we're depressed, when we're discouraged? Not many of us. And of those that might, we don't do it all the time for sure. But Paul and Silas, singing praises to God and praying, having a good time in prison after being beat. If that doesn't blow our minds, maybe this one. Don't let it be said that Paul and Silas had a better time in prison than we have in the Lord's house. Prison can't have more joy at the sight of Paul and Silas than Emmanuel Baptist Church when we show up. Paul and Silas having a good time in prison. I ask you, have you had a good time in the Lord when you probably really shouldn't have? There was something going on. You were dealing with something. Something was happening in your life. But you were having a good time in the Lord anyway. Now, who knows how long Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God? We don't know, but we do know this. They prayed and they praised until the deliverer came. People say, how long do I pray? Can't put a time limit on it. When does the Lord show up? People say, how long do I praise? Until the Lord shows up. And then once he shows up, you praise him for showing up. Then after you've praised him for showing up, you praise him for what he did when he showed up. And then later on down the road, you praise him in hindsight, looking back at what he did when he showed up. We see in the case of Paul and Silas, they're praising at midnight. Midnight in this story finds them in a place of inconvenience. Midnight's midnight. I trust midnight was midnight even back then. Even back then in Bible times, midnight's midnight. All right, people, unless they got to, absolutely have to. Okay, or they're out in the world. Midnight ain't nothing for those out in the world. But for people who are not out in the world, they're usually in bed. Usually in bed, usually about sleep by then, so that they can get up and be ready to go and stuff for the next day. We see in the case of Paul and Silas, they're praising at midnight. Now, who knows otherwise, if they weren't in prison, if they'd be praying and praising at midnight? Maybe not. Maybe they'd be asleep. And it's interesting to note, and I've used this illustration before, there were tough times at Caesarea, and I'd use that testimony there. There were tough times at Caesarea, but it was some of those tough times, one in particular, that had me out on the front lawn of the church property at midnight praying. I would not have been out there on the lawn, front lawn of the church at midnight praying if we weren't going through what we were going through at that time. So sometimes you're going to go through things. And the Lord brings those things your way to see something more out of you, to say, you know what, how much do you care about this? How much do you care? Do you care enough not to eat for the day, to fast? Do you care that much? Do you care enough to lose some sleep? To miss out on some other things that you might would like to do. Sometimes the Lord puts us in the thick of it to see how we respond. How much prayer do you got in the thick of it? How much praise do you have in the thick of it? Paul and Silas in the thick of it at midnight when they might have been asleep otherwise. Midnight, again, in this story, it finds them in a place of inconvenience. But God allowed them to go to prison because there was a guard in that prison that had an appointment with the God of this universe. And God needed some witnesses on the inside to be his representatives. After the earthquake, there's a manifestation of God's power. The jailer responds in verses 29 through 31. Then he called for a light and sprang in. He's in a hurry. And came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." The Bible uses the word "they" in the phrase "they said." So Paul and Silas, both of them, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." I like this. Paul and Silas simply say, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is not forced belief. It's a belief from a willing, humble, and obedient heart. Following an honest answer from an honest question, "What must I do to be saved?" I like the full response from Paul and Silas. They state what the jailer is to do, but in the same sentence, in the same breath even, we see, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Notice that last part, "and thy house." Paul and Silas had a desire that the jailer be saved, believe and be saved, but also that the jailer's house would also believe and be saved. You notice in the case of Lydia, Lydia was the entry point to that home, for that home to be saved. And this story here in the prison, the jailer was the entry point to his whole house getting saved. Now, that's amazing sometimes how that works. How the Lord will save one in a family and then he'll use them to reach their family. These people brought Paul and Silas back and say, hey, here. Bring them home with them. In the middle of their prayer, Paul and Silas, in the middle of their praise, God shows up. So what's the main theme here tonight? Prayer and praise precedes breakthrough. What happened when God used Paul and Silas as his representatives in prison? Their own deliverance came. Sounds like their own deliverance wasn't too long after. Sometimes the Lord puts us in a situation just long enough for him to do what he's got to do. Sometimes we might, in this case, they knew. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know why we're in the thick of it, but God's doing something, and he may just be using us as a means to get to somebody else. Sometimes we get all caught up in things and we think everything's about us and we think about everything that we're going through instead of what God might be doing and what we're going through. What God might want to do in somebody else. I cannot tell you the times that I have seen and heard of senior saints in their final days going home to be with the Lord and the amount of grace that they exhibit in those times. And the blessing that they are to those around them and the encouragement that they are to those around them. That they can die with grace. After living their life serving the Lord and walking with the Lord. And they go through things and they go through difficult things. And people are able to observe them and able to watch them go through those things. And see how through God's grace they keep their heads held high. It's only by God's grace. There are things that we could all name in here tonight that we've gone through in our lives that if it were not for God, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have made it through it. We'd have been in a psych ward, or we would have been dead, or we'd have been strung out on something. But it's by God's grace that we have made it through the things that we've made it through. And sometimes, again, it is not about us. God just says, you know what? I can trust you with this. So I'm going to give you this. But it's more about them. There's somebody close to you that's going to see you. There's somebody close to you that's going to be watching you that wouldn't be watching them. So I can't give it to them. I got to give it to you. Because they don't know them. But they know you. There are people that cross our paths all the time. That may cross our paths more than they would anybody else's. Paul and Silas. It's all divinely orchestrated. Every bit of it's divinely orchestrated. Every bit of it. For them to get arrested, for them to get put in prison, for them to get beaten, stripped. And in a lot of ways, it didn't have a lot to do with them. There was a jailer in his whole house that needed to be saved. But you know what? We do have their testimony here tonight. We got their testimony and what they walked. There's another passage. I forget it now, but we'll cover it at some point. Where the apostles, they were beaten and mistreated and imprisoned. And after the fact, they're rejoicing that they were counted worthy. It's an amazing thing. They were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Not everybody can walk that road. Not everybody can. I don't know that I can to a full extent. I don't know what I would do. I don't know. I've not lived it. But I pray if God just heaped one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another on my life, that I would be a portrait of grace. I pray I would have the right attitude. I pray I'd have the right spirit. I pray I wouldn't allow it to sour me. I wouldn't allow it to cause me to be bitter. But we don't know unless we walk that. I've never been to prison for the faith. I don't know what I would do if I went to prison for the faith. I've never been beaten for the faith. I don't know what I would do if I were beaten for the faith. I like to think I'd be strong. I kind of like what Paul says. I was cracking up. Let me find it. But I was cracking up. Yeah, verse 37. Let me go to verse 36. And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, I like this mentality here, but Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now they do thrust us out privily. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Yeah. I was cranking up. I was reading that, and I said, I like Paul even more. Yeah. It's like, you know what? They sent in word for us to leave town. No, they beat us and they condemned. Tell them to come and kick us out of town. Don't be sending no word to us. You face up. You did this to our face. You come to our face and tell us to get out of town. That's not... But that's Paul. That was Paul. You had to have some of that. You had to have some of that to go against the grain as much as he did. There was times he even had to call out. He called out Peter. There was times that he didn't exactly get along with other preachers for different things that was going on. There was times, you see it through the case of Paul. Sometimes you got to go against the grain of the church. Sometimes you got to go against the grain of other preachers. Paul constantly said, not of men, neither by men. He constantly said that all the time. You look at the opening of the books that he wrote. Paul's always saying that. It's always a reminder. God called me and not man. He was putting that out there all the time. None of y'all called me. God did. So I answered to him. It's what Paul put out there all the time. I can't help but think there was a lot of people out there trying to pull Paul's strings. And remind them, God called me. He's got my strings. But again, Paul and Silas, I was encouraged by this, just their testimony of being faithful to the Lord, being imprisoned, and the Lord using this time. And they prayed and they praised. And I think it's something we can learn from tonight. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for your word.